Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this morning is written in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with the 9th verse. I invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abba-Maholath, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So far the reading. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Listening can be hard. Thinking about listening can bring back memories of sitting through long classes, listening to your children talk, listening to a friend who's had a bad day, or trying to listen to your vicar give a sermon. Listening can be easy, especially if we're interested in the conversation. But other times, we might have something else in our mind, and it can be really hard to listen. Sometimes listening can even be painfully difficult. Our text for this morning is a wonderful example of how important it is to listen to God's guiding voice. While listening can be hard, God's humble voice brings salvation. A little before our text, Elijah met with 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Both the false prophets and Elijah offered up a sacrifice of a bull. The false prophets spent all day crying out to their false god, trying to get him to send down fire upon their altar. When they were done trying and failed, Elijah had his altar covered three times with water. He then prayed to the true God, the maker of heaven and earth. God proceeded to rain down fire upon his altar, which consumed the bull, the altar, and even the stones around it. After this event, the evil Queen Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah. She sent a messenger to Elijah, who said, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, which is the prophets of Baal, by this time tomorrow." After this, Elijah fled to the wilderness to die. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him, strengthened him with food. And then Elijah traveled on to Mount Horeb, which is where our text begins. When Elijah came to Mount Horeb, he went into a cave. Mount Horeb was the same mountain on which God gave his people the Ten Commandments. The word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." We need to pause here and think about Elijah's state of mind. Does his response show that he is trusting that God is in control? His statement begins with an I and ends with an I. Elijah had become very self-centered. His response shows that he was becoming impatient with God. He also thought that he was the only believer left. Elijah is saying something similar to this: "I'm tired of waiting for you. I'm the only one left. And why don't you take out judgment on my enemies?" At this point, we might be thinking, "Come on, Elijah. You just saw God send down fire upon your altar on Mount Carmel. You were just given victory over 450 prophets of Baal." On top of this, Obadiah had just recently told Elijah that there were still 100 prophets of God left. Elijah wasn't the only person left. He just decided to think that he was. Elijah, the greatest prophet of God since Moses, doubted in the very God who worked amazing miracles through him. What was Elijah thinking? If we saw miracles like Elijah did, we surely wouldn't doubt God, would we? But let's think about that. How often do we share the same state of mind as Elijah? There are times when we can have a hard time listening as well. And this is because our sinful nature doesn't listen. There might be a difficulty or cross in your life right now. You might find yourself becoming frustrated that God hasn't removed it yet. You might say to God, "I want this removed right now because I know what's best for me." Our sinful nature says, "I want this," instead of patiently listening to God's plan for us. It isn't wrong to want something better in our life, and we can even pray for it. But if we despair and become impatient with God, then we're acting just like Elijah on Mount Horeb. It's hard for us to listen patiently to God's plan. Our sinful nature is impatient. God then listened and responded to Elijah's impatient reply. He said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." Elijah went out, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. The wind, earthquake, and fire represent God in his awesome majesty, a God that we are not holy enough to stand before. We are unholy and full of sin. God's display of power on the mountain had no comfort. When we are confronted with the law, we don't find any comfort either. The law shows us our sinful hearts. We deserve eternal punishment for our sins. But after the wind, earthquake, and fire, a low whisper or a still small voice came to Elijah. Elijah then wrapped his face in his cloak and came out of the cave. Elijah must have been terrified at God's great show of power, but the quiet voice must have comforted him. God could have appeared as a great and glorious king, more powerful and terrible than anyone else had ever seen. He could have appeared with thousands of angels and a voice terrible to hear. But instead, God came to him in a humble voice. We can't handle anything else. In fact, Luther put it this way: "I want to know no God but the God who became flesh, who lay lowly on hay and straw." Jesus, our eternal and majestic King, came humbly as a servant. The book of Isaiah even called him the suffering servant. Christ was so humble in appearance that he was rejected by men. Christ wasn't a conquering being, but instead a lamb that went silent to the shears. He was rejected by men upon the cross. The Word, made flesh, who created the world and everything in it, humbled himself to the point of death. It was there, on the cross, that God placed the sins of the entire world. Christ, the incarnate Word, became so quiet that he was snuffed out in death. Christ humbled himself for you. Your sins are forgiven on account of Christ. He didn't accomplish this by a great display of power, but in great meekness. The quiet voice asked Elijah again what he was doing there. Elijah responded again with the same words, but I wonder if it sounded a little silly in his ears the second time. God then reassured Elijah and said, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." These 7,000 were reserved by God's word for salvation. God was subtly telling Elijah that Elijah had doubted in God's word. Elijah was wrong to think that he was the only believer left. There were still 7,000 people. God was and still is active in preserving his people. Today, the humble word preserves us through the means of grace. Just as the 7,000 were preserved by God's word in Elijah's time, even we are preserved through the word. God doesn't come to us through a majestic display of power or through a special feeling or voice inside our head. Instead, he comes to us through his word in the Bible. His word creates faith in our hearts. In baptism, the word with water washes away our sins. In Holy Communion, the word with the bread and wine bring us our Savior's true body and blood, giving us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Through the humble means of his word, water, bread, and wine comes a power stronger than sin, death, and the devil. While listening can be a difficult process for us, God still preserves us. He does this not through an amazing show of power, but instead through the humble means of his word. The word became flesh and breathed his dying breath upon the cross so that we can breathe everlasting life in heaven. God preserves us in his word. Listen to it. God speaks. God declares us forgiven. His voice brings you salvation. Through it, you are preserved to eternal life in heaven. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.